Well, it's good to be back among you. It's been some time since I was here. I do see Des from time to time at the Quinta. And a warm welcome indeed to our visitors. I hope that you enjoy your time here and that you benefit from the words that I preach and also the fellowship. Now, I chose this passage because I was thinking about God's provision. And the situation was that Ahab, the king, and Jezebel, they were wicked. They had completely misled the nation into idol worship, and they had forsaken the God of Israel. And in situations like that, God has still not abandoned us. God raises up faithful people to remind us about his word and that we should be worshipping him. And if there's anyone who is a thorn in the side of these two, it was Elijah. Because Elijah remained faithful to God and proclaimed what God had said. And God sent Elijah to Ahab and told him that there would be a drought, there would be no rain. In fact, the way that Elijah announces this is very interesting. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, leave here, turn eastward and hide in... Sorry, before that, it says, now, from verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except by my word. So he's reminded Ahab, I stand before the Lord. I serve him. You don't. You have abandoned him and you have dragged the whole nation away from God. And I'm telling you now, God has said there will be no rain until God says so. This was not a popularity contest. It took courage for him to appear before the king and to announce this, because the king was very angry. You know, he didn't blame himself for his own disobedience, nor did he blame God. He blamed Elijah for what was going to come. You know how the messenger is sometimes the person that has to bear the brunt of the bad news. It's not my fault, I'm just the messenger. And that's what Elijah was. He was the messenger, but he was a faithful messenger. And that's what we've got to be. We've got to be faithful to God's word in all circumstances, even if it's not popular. We Christians shouldn't think that we're going to be popular, because indeed, before the world, we might be very unpopular indeed, and that's probably going to become increasingly the case. So, in the midst of adversity, he was faithful. So God says to him, you have to go to this brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you, and you'll drink from the brook. I note that God had not told him in advance, before he went to the king, how he was going to be provided for. And often when God guides us, he doesn't tell us in advance what he's going to do. He expects us to be obedient to what he has revealed to us at that moment. And anything else that's going to follow, God will then reveal as and when we need to know. If indeed we do need to know. So Elijah goes to this brook, and he is indeed fed by the ravens and drinks from the brook. And I looked up what the Jewish attitude to ravens was, because I thought, ravens. I don't remember them being kosher. They are not. They are considered to be unclean. And yet God used the unclean ravens to feed him. And we are also told in the Bible In fact, we sang it. We've just sang it. It's from, you find in Luke chapter 12, Jesus said, "Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, yet your heavenly Father clothes them." That's another example of God's provision. But Jesus took as an example the unclean ravens. And in the Old Testament, when Solomon is described, Solomon had black hair. And he said his hair was as black as a raven. So even though they weren't the sort of animals that they could eat for food, they were unclean, God still used ravens to bless this prophet, and Jesus took the example of the ravens. See how God cares for the ravens. How much more will my heavenly Father care for you to clothe you and give you what you need? And so we have to trust in the Lord by being faithful, by proclaiming his word, and standing by what God says. We've been singing this morning, you know, "I'm not ashamed to own my Lord," or "to defend his word." We have to be bold in the face of opposition to declaring what God has revealed. And of course, God will bless you. As you proclaim God's word, you never know who's listening. Those who are most vocal opposing you, they're the ones you know about. But it's the ones, I think it's the ones who are quiet and just listening, like, who knows how God's speaking to them? Maybe they're realizing this God must be really something if they're willing to be so unpopular or to stand against the ways of the world. I've got to get to know this God. Sometimes it's just the quiet person in the corner that God's really speaking to them. "Pay attention to my servant. I will provide for you. And the thing you need right now is to be saved. You need to trust my word." Of course, it makes sense that because there was no rain in the land, at some point this brook was going to dry up. And indeed it did. God had not told Elijah in advance, before it dried up, how he was going to provide for him from then on. We shouldn't get fixed ideas about how God will deal with things. God often surprises us. He's promised to provide and to look after us, but what he hasn't told us is how. The closest he's come to telling us how is in what we call the Lord's Prayer: "Give us this day our daily bread." Again, daily bread. No, not "give us well in advance what we want, Lord. Tell us how you're going to sort this all out," because we like to be in control. That, you know, that's what that's all about. Us wanting to know ahead of what God has revealed is all about us wanting to be in control and be reassured. But it's God who's in control. And how are we going to trust him if he's told us well in advance what he's going to do? It's about a relationship with God, a trust relationship. So God tells him that he's commanded this widow to feed him. Well, every time I come to this passage, I ask myself a question. This has always intrigued me, and I still don't have an answer to this. When he sees this widow, first of all, how does he know it's that widow? Right, he just comes again, sees this widow, and he says, and secondly, and this is the big surprise to me, God has said that he has commanded this widow to feed him. The widow knows nothing about it. Absolutely nothing. In fact, far from being ready to feed this prophet, she tells him that she's got enough to make some bread, a last meal for her and her son, and then they die. They are doomed, as he used to say in Dad's army. She really thinks, we're going to die, this is the last meal, that's it, we're done for. Now to compound the problem, Elijah then says to him, go and make a cake of bread for me first, and then for you and your son. Now, it would be difficult enough for the woman to feed herself and her son. And this man says to her that her pots will not run out. Surely as God whom I serve lives, you'll not run out. You serve me first. What's this about? You're just trying to survive yourself, as you may have thought. And we'll starve and you'll go on your way. But no. She must have believed what he told her, because she did it. We're not told what went through her mind, or details of the conversation that may have followed. We are told, however, that she did as Elijah told her. She made this bread, and she fed him. And surprise, surprise, it didn't run out. But again, it didn't blossom and become a big jar. There was enough for the day, not tomorrow. But the following day, there's enough for that day, and the next day, and the next day. And he's told her that God will go on providing for them until God declares there shall be rain. Now I find this fascinating, because my natural inclination is to plan ahead and to get all the details nailed down when you want to achieve something, when you want to survive even. I'm sure that each day as you set down your meal, you plan the meal. And our lives are full of plans, and there's nothing wrong with plans. We should be using what God has given us to make plans. But in this case, they had to rely entirely upon the Lord and his provision, day by day, a simple meal. Perhaps she thought day by day, this can't go on. We're going to die. But God was proving himself to this widow. He was proving that he is faithful. Elijah knew that. But God is, by doing this, showing this widow that he is faithful. If she's faithful to him, then likewise, God is faithful to her in providing for her. Because remember, the state wouldn't provide for her. That would be the sort of things up to families, and she's got one son, and he's dependent upon her. So day by day, Elijah and the widow eat from this jar as his bread is provided day by day. God's way of doing things is often rather messy. It's not the way that we would do it. It's my experience that we often see God's provision when we look back. Indeed, we can see it in the moment, but as a general rule, I see how God has led me when I look back and say, God was there at that time. I just didn't in that moment realize that was God. Most of the congregation here was know that at one point I was considering being a Church of Scotland minister, and I was just about ready to make the application, and I sent the letter off to the head office in Edinburgh, and I got a reply. But it was a reply from someone I knew very well indeed, because my former minister at that point was working in that office, and I didn't know that my letter that I sent to that office went to him. And so he sent a personal letter back to me saying, could you and I have a meeting? And so I went and I listened to what he had to say, and he pointed out some things to me that he thought were issues. He said, well, I know what they're looking for. And I also question if you'd make it as a pastor. But he said, you've certainly got a teaching gift. He said, I question whether you'd be a pastor. So I listened to what he had to say. And looking back now, God was in that meeting, because that diverted me onto a different path. I decided, there's lots of things about the Church of Scotland that I would have to put up with. I don't really want to. I'll look at missions instead, because I probably could be used in missions. And I applied to a number of missions, got turned down by some of them, and rightly so, I have no complaints about that. And previously I had made an application to OM and decided, couldn't do that particular aspect of, no, I'll withdraw. And then again, I sent another application to OM, a different area of ministry, and I thought, when I think about it, no, I'll withdraw from that. I was in receipt of the OM monthly newsletter, and one day, when it came, it had an insert with it with a list of positions at the Quinta. And I looked at this list, and my immediate action was, I could do that. I might add, 16 years passed. And that's why I say to people who are doing recruiting for missions, you know, just because someone doesn't respond immediately there on the spot at the meeting, it doesn't mean you failed. And it doesn't mean they're not being called into mission. It just means you need to think about it often. And I said, it took a long time to recruit me. And when I finally came through, well, thus far, I've spent 27 years at OM. Was I worth it? Well, you can decide that. But it wasn't what I planned. It was what God planned, but God didn't reveal that to me until the time came for me to join OM. And even then, he made me join the right part of OM for me. If I'd gone to the other bits I thought about, I think it would have finished me off. But I came with a conviction of, this is what I know God wants me to do. But again, just like in the case of Elijah, God did not tell me on the day that I was converted, my plan is for you to join Operation Mobilization. He didn't let me know that until the moment came where I had to make that application. And down through the years, He still doesn't tell me in advance what's going to happen. I have to accept things as they happen day by day and adjust accordingly. And that's the usual way that God does things. There's a slight exception in this passage, because on two occasions in this passage, Elijah is able to say to the king and to the widow that there'll be no rain until God says so. So he's told the king, this drought will not last forever. And he's told the widow, this drought will not last forever. It'll go on until the day that God tells me, or tells the nation, now I'm sending rain upon the land. And at that point, he won't be needing any daily provision, making bread for me day by day. But he didn't tell them when it was going to end. God has his secret plans. There are things God knows that we don't. And it's not our business to try to find out what it is. Not that we could anyway. What we do need to do is act upon what God has revealed. And God has revealed that he wants us to trust in him. God has revealed that we are sinners, that we need to repent, that we need to trust in Christ his Son. He has revealed that he has paid the penalty upon the cross in the form of Jesus Christ coming and dying as a sacrifice for us. And Jesus came as in obedience to God. Just like Elijah went in obedience to God and declared God's will, so Jesus has declared God's will, his Father's will, to us. And he has sacrificed himself. And he's risen from the dead. And he promises that if we trust in him, we shall be saved. I thought I was a Christian until the day I was actually converted. I thought going to church and singing the hymns and going to Sunday school and believing God exists, believing about Jesus, not in him, believing about him, that made me a Christian. But one day in the church, my brother and I had been out the night before to hear this Christian choir or band. And on the Sunday morning, he nudged me and said, see that man sitting in front of us? He was with that choir last night. He wasn't up on the stage with them, but he was with them. Now, they had come from Florida. So I thought, that man must come from the USA. I've never met an American before. I'm going to stop him at the door, just because he's American. Terribly exciting American coming to Dunfermline, which is where I come from, by the way, one of the old capitals of Scotland. So I stopped this American at the door, and we got talking. And he said to me, do you know that salvation's a free gift? What do you do to receive a gift? Nothing. You just receive it. And as soon as he said that, I understood how to receive Jesus Christ. You just accept him. There's nothing you can do. You just trust in him. And in that moment, I was saved. And looking back now, everything before led up to that moment, all the things I learned in Sunday school, all the things I learned in church, and in that moment it suddenly made sense. In fact, up until then, I didn't like hymns. I thought they were dreadful. And there was one in particular I didn't like, standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ, my King. I thought, what a load of rubbish. What promises? What's this going on about? Well, I know now, because of that moment, God provided for me. I needed salvation. God provided for me. But when I went out that day, I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't expecting to meet an American, and I certainly wasn't expecting to be told that salvation's a free gift. So God often speaks in everyday conversations. It's not necessarily the big meeting or big events. It's often one-to-one conversations that you have with people who need to hear what you have to say. You might be like the ravens were to Elijah. You bring to them what they need. They might not realize they need it until the very moment. I didn't. But God provided for him. Elijah didn't have any arguments with God about it. I'm sure Elijah knew that through the suffering of the people with the drought, God was bringing about circumstances whereby the wicked ruler would be overcome and God was calling his people back to himself. It was going to take time and it was going to take suffering. Sometimes God speaks through suffering. He allows suffering to make people realize we need God. We need to turn back to him. Suffering can be, and often is, a blessing. I'm sure Job looked back on his life and realized his suffering ultimately was a blessing. Poor Job, though, didn't get told what was going on in the heavenly realm, because it was the devil who had challenged the Lord. And God said, have you considered my servant Job, how faithful he is? Job didn't know what that was all going on, and he was suffering because of this, and because God was allowing it to show the devil, see, Job is faithful to me. Doesn't matter what you do, he will not curse me, and he didn't. He had a lot of things to say about his situation, but Job was faithful, and that's the key thing. We need to trust God, be faithful. We need to be familiar with his word. And what it reveals to us, we need to believe it. And that might mean acting upon it too. And it also means trusting God in providence. As I say, God often leads through providence. When he went to that gate, he went to the place that God told him to go. But he didn't stop and say, which one of the widows I might run into is one that God has singled out to be the one to provide for me. He just saw a widow, and that was a woman. He didn't hear a voice from heaven saying, see that woman there, Elijah, that's the one. In providence, God took Elijah to the woman who provided for him. And as I say, it's always fascinated me that she doesn't know in advance. Every time I read this story, I'm still back there reading that for the very first time. Why didn't God tell the poor widow in advance she had to provide for this person? I mean, she must have been shocked when this man said, you make a cake of bread for me first. I would love to have seen her face. You can all see her thinking, haven't you been listening to me? I've just told you I'm making a last meal for me and my son, and you want me to feed you, and not only just feed you, but feed you first. But God, as I say, was revealing himself to her. Throughout this passage, it does say, the God of Israel, whom I serve. And that was a reminder to the God of Israel. The God of Israel, whom this nation, because of Ahab and Jezebel, have forsaken, I still serve him. I still stand before him. I am a prophet. God reveals things to me, and then I tell Ahab. And now you, this poor widow, I'm telling you what God has revealed for you to do. It's amazing how the prophets spoke to the great and the poor. They were not celebrities who courted popularity. I don't think that Elijah would have been terribly popular with the widow at first, but she still did it. And as we go later into the passage, which I'm not going to do, we would discover about the death of her son, and God still provides by raising her son from the dead. And it's at that point that she says, now I know that you are the God of Israel. I think this passage is leading up to that. Although the widow can see God's doing something, there comes a point where she knows in her heart that God is still the God of Israel, even when Israel is rebelling against him. And we know too that there did come a point where the rains did return. God was faithful to his word. God keeps his promises. As I say, it was him standing on the promises of God that I particularly didn't like as a youngster. But I love it now. And I still feel that God is still going on revealing more and more of himself to me. We should always be asking that we might get to know God better. It's easy to know about God. It's harder to know God personally. Most people, unfortunately, don't want to know God personally. They fight against him because they know in their hearts they're sinners and they're condemned by God. And they don't want to hear that. But we still have to be faithful. I don't know what your situations are, but I trust that we all know people whom God may be using you to call. As I say, it's one-to-one conversations. And I still find it interesting that it's an unclean animal that God used to provide. I suppose the temptation might have been, if it had been a clean animal, he might have killed the animal. So he wasn't going to kill those ravens. And they brought bread and meat to him every day. God provides in ways that we cannot imagine. We might find ourselves in dire circumstances. How am I going to cope? The answer is, look to God. Trust in him. And whatever his word reveals to you, believe it. Act upon it. You won't be sorry. It might take time. You might even be stressed out at times. But God is faithful. And he makes provision. As Jesus shall remind the disciples, because the disciples must have been concerned about how they were going to make a living. And that's why I said to them, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, yet your heavenly Father clothes them. And how much more valuable are you than the ravens? And so I'll leave you with that thought. We are valued by God. God loves us. Trust in him. And trust him for provision. Amen.